Craig wanted me to play the Wobbly Browns theme this morning. But I'm just going to whistle the theme to Hogan's Heroes. Though Craig, he wasn't a hero, though there were moments. But we, as a longstanding Browns fan, know that no matter what quarterback comes in there, we're there to support him. Even if we sometimes can't remember who it is and when he played for us.
Do you want to number six so far this season?
I don't know. What's his number, by the way? You know?
I don't remember.
Sure, whatever. I don't know. Joining us to talk about that and other things is Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, we're okay. We could talk about Northwestern in the game coming up against the Buckeyes. Did we see things that they could learn from Penn State that maybe could help them in their contest on Saturday?
I don't know. I think the angry Buckeyes are probably a tough matchup. Although my Wildcats have won three in a row, I think, and have been looking pretty good.
All right.
Do they have any quarterbacks that can take multiple hits in the pocket?
Well, now that's a good question. The Northwestern kid is a big, tall, strapping lad, so he could probably absorb a little bit of punishment.
Well, let's talk about the punishment. Where do you want to start? Yesterday, the Browns and the Bengals. We used to have sort of fun going down to Paul Brown, or you know, down there to take on the Bengals. But this is getting kind of painful, and we're not even halfway through the season yet.
No, I think you're right. We can start with Hugh Jackson because you talk about painful. You know, that's as frustrated as I've seen Hugh. You know, I think a lot of factors played into it. Number one, they're a seven straight loss, so it should build up. You know, the frustration should build with each loss. I think it meant more to him because it was Cincinnati and he was coached down there for so long. It is so tight with Bengals coach Marvin Lewis. And he just was so upset by how the team played. And he said, you know, he said the thing that got him was the poor run defense, right? They gave up 271 yards and it continued into the fourth quarter. And that's when he called the timeout, brought the defense to the side and did, you know, yelled at him or told him whatever he told him. And then kind of, you know, I don't know if maybe this is a little strong, but checked out, you know, took off his headset. He was no longer calling the plays on offense. And he just said he was upset with how it went. And, you know, I get it, but I don't think it's a great look for your head coach to be standing around the sideline in a two-score game without his headset.
Well, you know, there's a point where all season long he's been sort of taking the hit. In other words, taking the blame for everything. It almost seems at this point he thought to himself, you know what? This one is on you guys. You try to start figuring it out.
Yeah, it's interesting because in his post-game press conference, he still said, you know, hey, everything's on me. Don't look at the players. I got to fix it, blah, blah, blah. But I think you're right. I think when he called those guys over, the message was something like, you guys are going to have to help me here, right? I'm coaching my butt off. I need more from you guys. And that's interesting, you know, and I'm sure he's right. And I think Hugh's been doing a pretty good job overall. I think there's, you know, as we get deeper into the season, there's more stuff you can criticize. And I thought I saw some stuff yesterday. But, you know, I think he looks at his team and says, guys, you got to do something for me here. You know, I think I'm calling good games. I think I'm coming up with creative game plans. And yet you guys are letting me down, especially with simple stuff like missed tackles on defense and being out of position. Stuff that I don't care how untalented you are as a roster, you should be able to make tackles and keep a team from running for almost 300 yards.
Well, maybe this falls in the category of nitpick, and this is my, Scott, this is my perception. I don't know what the reality is, but it seems as though the Browns like to defer the opening kick if they win the toss, yet the other team goes down the field and scores a touchdown rather easily, and the Browns start off basically behind in the game.
Yeah. No, well, you would have a spot in the press box because that's been a common argument, not only for you, but for many Browns coaches who've done that and gone through the same situation. But you're right. In seven games, they've given up a first possession touchdown five times. Now, it hasn't always been after they defer. Sometimes the Browns have gotten the ball and punted, gotten the ball and scored, I think, once, and then played defense, and that still counts as your first possession. But you're right, and I understand why coaches defer. You know, and plenty of them do. Bill Belichick does. You believe it maximizes your possessions in the second half when the game's won or lost. And I think Hugh knows the reality and knows the history, but says, this is the week my defense is going to get us to stop. And once we get a stop, we're in great position because we're going to have better field position. It's a ball at the end of the second half, or it's the start of the second half. Yet it hasn't worked. And you're right, they're down 7-0 nearly every week. And I think that's a tough blow for a team to deal with. You know, your offense walks on the field, and you're already trailing. You got a young quarterback, a young team, and I think sometimes you feel the pressure from the start, and they don't have to do that. They could take the ball and try to get that 7-0 lead. So while overall I understand deferring, I think it's time for Hugh to change that until his defense shows that it can get a stop to start the game.
I understand that, too, and I agree with the concept. If you had a defense maybe like the Minnesota Vikings, but we don't.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
You said Minnesota Vikings. Craig, they lost.
Their coach
sounded like their team is 0-7. I don't know.
Scott, let's talk quarterback here. Sure. We've got Mr. Hogan. Maybe Josh McCown will come back. I don't know. Should we sign another quarterback off the street this week?
Well, if Josh McCown's not healthy, you need to sign another quarterback. You cannot go in to Sunday's game with Kevin Hogan and a beat-up Terrell Pryor as your backup. We should get more clarity on Josh McCown's situation today. I know the hope in the organization is that he's healthy enough to play, that he's cleared with that broken left collarbone, because, number one, they would prefer to, you know, start him over Kevin Hogan. Number two, he would give them the best chance for victory, period, I believe, of any quarterback that's played for the Browns this season. They're desperate for the win. They have the Jets coming into town on Sunday, and the Jets are a beatable team, even though they won yesterday. So I think Hugh Jackson would be able to take a deep breath, kind of exhale, if Josh McCown is cleared. If he's not, and we're assuming Cody Kessler won't be back Sunday after a concussion, and that's a pretty fair assumption, then you try to get Kevin Hogan ready to play. You go sign somebody else that can come in and get up to speed in a week, which should be a veteran because you obviously can't teach a rookie everything that quickly. And then you're in a terrible situation. And then you go into the Jets and you probably lose because Kevin Hogan, I know he ran for 104 yards. He only threw for 100. Hasn't been here very long. He's only been active 2 weeks. First NFL action was yesterday. So, I think whether or not Josh McCown is able to play this week is huge for not only this week, but the season, because there's not a whole lot of winnable games left on the schedule. And if they fall to 0-8, then all of a sudden, you start looking toward, man, is it going to be 0-12? Could it possibly be 0-16? And that's a bad vibe to have around an organization.
The Browns got run over yesterday, giving up nearly 300 yards on the ground. Scott, is it a combination of young players, poor tackling, bad schemes? What do you think is the issue?
Yeah, I don't think it's a scheme, although I think the Bengals saw some stuff in the Browns. I don't know if it's the Browns roster or how the Browns lined up, but they started the game, and I think they ran about the first 10 plays to the right side. So they must have seen something. And then they went back to normal and went right side, left side. But they just kind of pinpointed all the Browns' weaknesses, and there's plenty of them. The players like to say it always comes back to fundamentals. They miss tackles. You know, if safety Ibrahim Campbell, if he makes two tackles on the 40-yard run and 74-yard run, then the numbers are a lot different, right? But he didn't, and he wasn't the only one missing tackles. But on that, the 74-yard touchdown by Jeremy Hill in the third quarter when the Browns had gotten back within 4 points, the Bengals won that scheme. They went heavy to the right side. The Browns had no counter for it, and Ibrahim Campbell was the one guy with a chance to make a tackle, and when he missed, he went for 74 yards. So on that play, it was a combination of everything. Scheme, guys couldn't get off blocks. the one guy who was free missed a tackle. That's how you give up those kind of numbers. But when you get run over like that, that's disheartening, and it kind of takes your spirit away. It's different than, you know, a fluke play, or even if a team throws the ball all over you, you know, you feel differently then. It's emasculating when a team runs the ball like that.
Talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Scott Petrick. Scott, we got the New York Jets next week. The Browns PR, you know, they're kind of, there's a celebration of a remembrance of the 30th, it was at 30 years now since the double overtime. So they're kind of looking at a glory days as well. Jets having their own quarterback issues as well. Can we hope that maybe there's some there's a victory in this game coming up?
Well, first of all, yeah, 30 years. And that Jets game was probably the best Browns game that I've ever seen. Probably, you know, I've been watching Browns since before that, and that's the best game I've ever seen. You know, maybe it's the best game in Browns history since the 64 championship. I'm not sure I'm exaggerating there. But this week, well, I think the Browns have a chance because the Jets are only 2-5. They have some turmoil. Now, what doesn't bode well for the Browns is that Ryan Fitzpatrick came off the bench yesterday, the quarterback, filled in and led the team to a win. And the Browns have always had trouble with Ryan Fitzpatrick. In fact, I'm not sure they beat him. You know, kind of a journeyman guy, but he's always had success against him. And he's playing angry. You know, you read his quotes after yesterday's game, and he attacked the Jets ownership, general manager, and coach for not trusting in him because they benched him the previous week. And then he has to play because of an injury and comes out and wins the game. So, you know, maybe the Browns will get lucky and the Jets will go back to Geno Smith if he's healthy enough. I think that would help them. If not, it's going to be a tough game. And like I said, the only chance I see is if Josh McCown is healthy. I think that would kind of send a jolt through the rest of the team.
When is the bye week coming? I thought for sure we'd get one soon. It seems like it's later than it should be this year. I don't know.
It's really late. Oh. It's really late. I think it's the end of November. You know, I think they could be 0-11 before the bye. Don't quote me on that. But it's a late bye. And usually teams like that because – you know, you kind of use it as a way to refresh yourself after a long season. But this team could use a break.
Yeah, we could use a 2-week bye at some point just to get some people healthier back moving and going. But at least though, this week in Cleveland sports, we are being distracted by two events taking place with the Cavs and also the Indians as well. So a little salve for our wounds as we wait for another Sunday with Browns football. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.